What's the story on the speakers? We have three people here I know are hard of hearing. Are we at the max we can?
I don't want to give him any feedback, but we'll see.
Yeah, I hear you.
I need all the feedback. Raise your hand for feedback.
Right.
Yeah, shh. I didn't ask anything for the ask with.
How's that sound?
That sounds good. That's the best we do. That's the best we do.
All right. I just want to make sure it's not. I know that's going to be kind of loud on the recording. I just smacked the. It'd be good, though. Anyway, it's good to be here. This morning, we were in Farmersville Baptist Church. We were able to preach there. I believe the Lord was in it. It was a good opportunity to be there with the people. You know, we sure have made some friends over there, but we sure have made some enemies. You know, when you preach the truth, it hurts people at times.
Yep.
But that's what you're called to do. If I was called to just, you know, give everybody good news all the time and, you know, all this pansy-fansy stuff, what's it going to do for anybody? Look, that stuff didn't touch anybody like me. I'm telling you that right now. I need somebody just to preach it down the line. Yep. Somebody just to open the Word of God and just to tell it the way it is. Let's just hear it, man. Because you know what? That's what saves people. It's the foolishness of preaching. Amen. I'm a fool when it comes to preaching. I love to preach. There ain't nothing like it. God has been good. But anyway, so a little update about Liberty Behind Bars for Anchor Baptist Church. You guys probably don't know much. A couple weeks ago, I had a meeting with the administration. They're looking for a kind of a permanent spot for me to be in the jail. And so that'd be open to 5 days a week for me being able to be in there doing the same things I do. What they want, what they call is contracting me in. Okay, just like you have a guy coming in who's going to contract your floors. He doesn't belong to this church, but you're going to pay him for his services. And that's what they want to do with me in the jail, still keeping my independence, still using the King James Bible, still not having to go. I don't have to go and give the other versions out and all that nonsense, because that's where I draw the line. Just won't feed somebody poison. I just won't do it. I refuse to do it regardless. So anyway, they're talking about getting me a position in there that would be paid. And I have all kinds of opportunities to sit down with the men and their families to be able to help counsel them for when they prepare for going back there out there on the streets and be able to work with them and their families while they're in there, as well as whatever else they might have for me. Maybe even counseling some of the deputies. How about that? Wouldn't that be something?
Amen, brother.
How about an ex-convict going to counsel deputies? That's just God, man. I mean, he doesn't amaze me. He still amazes me, but just the things he does just blows my mind. And that's kind of what I want to talk about a little bit here tonight. But anyway, so pray for June 17th, 9:30 a.m. I have another meeting with the administration to see where this goes. Look, just because it looks good doesn't mean it's good from God.
That's right.
Okay? I want to make sure, and this is where you guys need to be praying, make sure this is of God and not of Dale Moore. Because, man, it would be quite comfortable to move out there and get paid and do all this stuff. That would just take a lot of stress off of me, but that may not be what God wants. Okay? And if whatever he wants, I want to be in his will. I do not want to live outside of that. I'll travel 4 hours if that's what it takes. It doesn't matter to me. As long as I'm in his will, I want to be doing what he wants us to do. So pray for June 17th at 9:30 a.m. That'll be the meeting. And I will keep everybody updated on what's going on with that. Still staying busy. Still getting Bibles. I was telling Pastor, I bought the rest of all the Bibles. I think we have about 700 or 800 Bibles downstairs at the church that we'll have to give out, but they go pretty quickly. I think as of right now, we have given almost 1,200 Bibles out in the last two and a half, three years. Maybe a little more or less. I don't remember all the numbers, but we've given a significant amount out there. And so we want to be able to keep doing that. So pray that we can find more Bibles that are that good quality, and because it'll be a blessing to give these men that quality. And so anyway, keep praying for Liberty, our travels. I think the next Sunday service that we have in our church will be in August. When we'll be in our church service on a Sunday.
Wow.
We'll be there on a Wednesday and a Thursday possibly. Not next Wednesday, we'll be in Blaine, but on a Sunday service, it won't be until August. Because Youth Week, when it begins, we'll be in Countersport, and when it ends, we'll be in Countersport. Okay, on that Sunday and stuff, and so I was asked to pulpit fill there, but it won't be again until sometime in August that we're sitting in our church pew. And I love coming home. I love being, with youth guys. I love being at Black Creek, sitting in the church pews at home. But I also love going out there and doing what God has called us to do. It's a blessing, good times, hard times. And tonight, I want to talk about something different that I've never done before. God gave me a message that includes me in it. It's a testimony of what God has done in the last 2 weeks of my life, because I mean, he's been wonderful to me for the last 10 years of my salvation. I mean, almost 10 years in October. So good to me that I don't even deserve to be standing here tonight. But 2 weeks ago, God finally pinned me down on something that I've been struggling with, that I've been, and I think me and you talked a little bit about it the last Thursday. God has been trying to pin me down on something for the last probably 2.5 to 3 years. I mean, hardcore. And I just did not want to see it. I did not want to open my eyes to it. So if you would, turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. This is going to be a familiar passage for most of you. But I'm not going to preach it the way I normally preach it, because there's a lot of truth in the Bible. And they can be preached several ways as long as you keep them in context and keep them exactly where they need to be. Mark chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 25 and 26. Mark chapter 5. Verse 25 and 26. Here's what verse 25 says. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of the physicians and had spent all she had, it was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We do thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. We thank you that you've given us another opportunity, Lord, to hear the word of God. We ask that you'd bless the people that are sitting here tonight for their faithfulness. My God, I pray that you'd give them ears to hear and an obedient heart to listen, so that when they leave here, they'll leave here differently than when they came in here, my God. And Lord, we are expecting you to show up at Teen Week. We are expecting you to show up and change lives and save those who are lost. But it doesn't have to be just Teen Week. It can happen tonight, Lord. And we pray that if somebody is supposed to be saved tonight, that you would save them, my God, and bring them to that place of repentance, Lord. Bring them to that place of absolute contrition, where they see themselves as you see them. Lord, I pray that you'd move me out of the way. Decrease me as you increase. And we thank you so much already for what you have done and for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So this has become my life in the past 3 years. And most of you know that I've had a lot of surgeries and medical things that have went on in my life. And so this here, when it says that she had suffered many things of the physicians and spent all that she had, it was nothing better, but rather grew worse. It was just 3 years ago the Lord put his finger on that very thing in my life. God started trying to pin me down, and he said this, Dale, how come you're always out there seeking those physicians? What about me? Am I not the divine physician? But God. You know, our flesh likes to get in the way, but God. You know, I have that pain, Lord. I have those things that are going on in my neck, and I have all that pain that's going on in my back. So I need the physicians, Lord, because they're helping me. Were they? That's my life story. For all these years, 15 years of struggling, 10 years as a saved man, and I was trapped seeking physicians and was only made worse. Amen. There was nothing better about me. They had me practically written off. They had me almost in a wheelchair. They had me written off where I needed canes and wheelchairs and everything else. Does it look like I need that tonight? Oh, it gets better. It gets better. You see, because last week I preached on the God of impossibilities. Because that's who he is. Amen. Just when we think there's no possibility with something in our life, God steps in and says, no, I am the God of impossibilities. I know there's people sitting in this room who just think that God can't or won't save them. That's a lie. You're trapped in a lie. How powerful is his blood? We sing about it constantly, don't we not? Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ, the power. So what you're saying is his blood has no power in your life. What you're saying is the blood of Jesus Christ is a lie, because it can't save you. He's the God of impossible. Why would he come and shed that blood, brother, if he can't save a soul? You see? The problem is not with God. The problem is not with the blood. The problem is with the person. So anyway, 3 years ago, the Lord put his finger on this in my life, and I refused to see it. Because I did, and still do, suffer physical pain. I mean, I suffer. You ask my wife and kids, there's no doubt in my life, no doubt whatsoever that I have physical sufferings in my life of the pain that I've had for before the surgeries, during the surgeries and after the surgeries. It's not something that I'm making up in my head. I don't have ghost pain, okay? I know a lot of people suffer from ghost pain, and Nick, you would probably understand that more than anybody else about what ghost pain becomes when you're trying to come off of pills and all that kind of stuff. You have these things that are called ghost pains. People get that when they're trying to seek for salvation. They can't get it. They get a ghost pain. They suffer that. How about that? But I don't have ghost pains. I suffer. The reality is. And so the Lord put his finger on my life. And guess what happened? The bottom started falling out. I learned how to carry myself. I'd come in this church. Nobody knew there was nothing going on in my life. I'd come up here and I'd open the Word of God and I'd still be able to preach the power of the Word of God. I'm still a child of God. I'm still a saved, born-again person. That wasn't the issue. The issue was not salvation. The issue was that God had put his finger on something that I refused to see. And he was not going to let me escape. And the bottom started falling out of my life. And I learned how to carry myself in church. I learned how to carry myself around people. But inside, I'm in torment. I didn't say tortured, because torture has breaks in between. But a torment never stops. And I was in torment. I'd come in and I'd be just crying. I would tell Amy all the time, I'm suffering because of this thing. I don't know how to handle this thing, Amy. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know. And I'm just telling you, God just kept pulling rug after rug after rug. At the same time, he's still using me. What a good God, Pastor.
That's right.
Amen. What a mighty God that's in spite of me. In spite of what I was suffering, God seemed fit that he would still use me. Why? I don't know. I don't know why. I don't deserve it. If you think that I deserve to be up here for 1 minute, you got me twisted. I don't deserve anything that I have in my life. If God was to take it away from me right now, then that was his priority to do that because he gave me every bit of it.
That's right.
I'm not sitting here trying to say I got an S on my chest and I'm Superman and I'd be okay with it. I would not be okay with it. I would hope, like Job, that I keep my integrity towards God and not curse him face to face, not turn my back on him if those things did come about. Because he says in Job 35, he says this, that thing which I greatly feared hath come upon me. How would I handle it? I know that about myself. It's not like I sit here and think that I'm just some holy, righteous guy. I don't ever think that about myself. I always think of myself the low man on the totem pole, and I'm okay being there. I don't need anybody to lift me up. I don't need anybody to praise me and give me praise. I don't need all that stuff. Why? Because I get too pride and puffy. I don't need that. But 3 years ago, God put his finger on something. And all the while, God the Father was striving with me on the issue. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And I was quickly on my way to becoming a castaway, of being no use to God. I heard Pastor one time preach, and he thought God had made him a castaway. And the turmoil that he went through, I was almost there. If 2 weeks ago, Pastor, I would not have seen what I needed to see, if I would not have finally admitted what God was trying to put his finger on, I would have been a castaway tonight, which means I would have been of no use to God and probably would have destroyed my family and destroyed liberty behind bars. Remember the whole trust thing we talked about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, God's dealt with all that in one time. There was things in my life God was not having anymore. You see, because there was things in my life that God left in my life and he was okay with it. But then he says, Dale, puts a finger on this, puts a finger on that, puts a finger on this. Time for him to go. It's time for him to go. He says, unless I keep my body under subjection, lest I become a castaway. You see, I was preaching to others. Hey, Jesus Christ can deliver you from that. Jesus Christ can make you whole. And God says, why are you not telling them the truth, Dale? And he pinpointed every time I was up behind this pulpit. It would just tear me up because I'd look at one of those men or the woman that I went to visit in Allegheny County who just lost her daughter to jail. She was in jail. She lost her daughter to banging heroin. I look at her, I said, man, Jesus Christ could have delivered her. And it would wrench my heart out because I was trapped in the same very thing. I was trapped in the same thing, you see? Because I went to the physicians instead of God. For all these years, I kept running back to the physicians. I know I'm going to try to get ahead of myself, but I don't want... For 15 years, I was on pain medicines. That's a shame to me. It's a shame to me, but you understand, 10 years of that, I was on pain medicine as a born-again believer. Why? Because I trusted the physicians and not Jesus. You see how, Miss Ruth Ann, we're real good at going like this. Well, I really do have that legit pain. The people that are out there shooting that stuff in their arm, they don't have pain. I have back pain. I have neck pain. I have leg pain. I have arm pain. I have headaches. You see, that was my legitimacy. Oh, not in God's eyes. Amen. Not in God's eyes. Oh, no, you don't, Dale. It's time to get gone. It's time for that to come out of my life. Oh, no, you can't really mean that, Lord. You can't really mean that I'm going to get rid of these things. Remember that person you looked face to face and told them that you believe that I can deliver them from the medicines? Did I? You see, God has a way of challenging me. He likes to spiritually challenge me on things, and he likes to throw that stuff up there in front of my face and make it click. But you know, we have a way of not looking at that. It can't be that, Greg. It can't be that. The physicians have all kinds of MRIs and x-rays telling me that I should be in wheelchairs and that I should never be able to walk again and using canes. That's my wife. That's what they tell me. Hang on, watch me. You see? Well, I don't have weights here, buddy. Tim Asquith's been getting me to work out with him, and I've been loving it. Me, Luke, and Tim, and a few Nate comes over, and we've been working out. Imagine that, being able to work out again physically. Look at this, 2 Chronicles 16. I'll read it. 2 Chronicles, but what I wanted to say is 10 years I was on them saved. They were legally from a doctor. So it must have been okay, right? You see, that's my friend, my brother, Ronnie Scolton. God gave him a little tiny message to me, and that was his message to me. Because Ronnie said this, he said, his physicians were his best dealers. Yeah, that tore my heart out. I mean, it really just started getting me thinking more and more. Man, Lord, you're really putting your... Nah. No, Lord. It can't be that. Fear. Ask my wife. Pastor, complete fear. I'm talking from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Fear. The unknown. What am I going to be like outside of that, Amy? Second Chronicles 16, 12 through 13 says, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but the physicians. And what happens? He dies. Look, I was already spiritually on my way to death. How much physically more would God have allowed me to carry that on in my life? I was already spiritually dying. I would just come to pastor and I would just say, man, I'm not, pastor, I can't figure out what's going on. Really? I knew perfectly well what was going on. You see, I just didn't want to see it. Because we learn how to talk ourselves. Our hearts are very deceitful above all things. We can deceive ourselves because we really don't want to see that very thing that God is pointing out. That can't be it. Oh, that is it. Look, when something comes to you 5-6 times a day, over years, And God keeps bringing situations up in your life, or He keeps bringing verses up to you, or showing you things in the Bible. There's a problem. The problem is us, and us not wanting to see it. I think Pastor was just talking about uncircumcised ears. For 10 years, I walked around with uncircumcised ears in that category of my life because I had the perfect excuse. I had the legitimate excuse to be on them. Nobody could have told me any different. The doctors told me I was okay. Here, take your little pills. And God said, you're not okay. Why? Asa died. And it says, and he slept with his fathers, and he died in one in the 40th year of his reign for almost 3 years. Remember when I started? How long did I tell you God put his hand on it? About 3 years ago? King Asa died in 3 years. I'm not kidding you. Look, when I stand here today, I believe God spared my life 2 weeks ago.
Amen.
You ask my wife. When I sat at that desk that morning, Pastor, two things were going to happen. I was going to lose my mind, my life, or God was going to deliver me. You ask my wife how I was that morning. Couldn't even think straight. Afraid. Afraid to look at that thing and say, okay, I have to face it, God. Now you're going to put me in that position where I have to trust you. And I have to believe that you really want to deliver me from this. And I was scared. Scared. I'm not a scared person. But I was shook. It had me so afraid. I thought I was going to go crazy, Greg. I did. I thought I was going nuts. And I just finally said this. Okay, God. If it's from you, let's be done with it. It's been 2 weeks today that I haven't touched a single pain pill. Guess how much withdrawal I went through? Zero. Don't get off your medicine. Do not get off your medicine if you're on medicine. I'm just telling you what God did for me. I'm telling you the miracle that He worked in my life. I'm telling you what He did to me, because a normal person would go through withdrawals and be puking and vomiting and all these things. I didn't. I've had to clear my thinking. Guess what happened when I finally got my thoughts clear? I realized that I'm the same Christian man that I've always been, but I was hiding behind the pill, not God. You see, ain't that something? Because we have a good God. We have a merciful God, and when we're willing to face that thing, regardless of how hard it is, because I ran from it for 3 years, I refused to see that in my life. Because legitimately, I would keep coming up with the excuse of why it was okay for me to do it. Just let me clear something up here. I didn't overuse my medicines. My wife kept them under lock and key. I never had access to them at all because I'm an addict. I didn't trust myself. My wife kept those things exactly where they needed to be. I wasn't overusing them. I wasn't taking 10 or 15 a day. I wasn't doing none of that stuff. I wasn't shooting it, banging it, sniffing it, chewing it. I was taking them exactly the way the doctors told me to take them. Matter of fact, I was taking less than the doctors ever told me to take. You see, that was my righteousness. That was my pride in that thing. You see, Tim? That's what self-righteousness does. But Lord, my wife is taking care of those pills for me. My wife. You see, we could talk ourselves into that nonsense. Become all prideful. Are you saying that all doctors are bad? Not at all. God gave us doctors. God gave us doctors and He gave us medicines, my friends. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying all pain medicines are bad and aren't, you know, good for certain uses or whatever else. But what I am telling you, it was not good for Dale Morey anymore. But, you know, when I first got saved, two and a half, three years after I got saved, I remember when God put His finger on my cigarettes. Oh, no. Not the cigarettes. No, we're okay. I'm saved. Can't be the cigarette, Stephen. No, why would he do that? Maybe there's something worse he needs to fix in me first. Oh, no, Dale. Cigarette's got to go, right? All right, Lord. That was fearful. But not as fearful as what I faced 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was afraid for my life. I was afraid for my sanity. All of it just came crashing down. And you know what? All God wanted me to do was admit it and believe and trust that he would do that for me.
Amen,
that's all it took. He does the same with salvation.
Yep.
He does the same with salvation.
Yep.
Amen.
That's what it takes. That's what it takes. Do you believe it? I'm not going to get on that. But look what he says here. God gave us men and women that are, who are physicians to help take care of our physical needs. But we should seek God first in prayer for our health, because what may seem to be something physical may actually be a spiritual battle. I come to realize that very quickly, Miss Ruth Ann. Probably about 3 or 4 days after my head started clearing up of being on those meds for so long, I realized, my goodness, I was in a spiritual battle that whole time. Man, the doors were wide open for spirits and all that that come and mess with me, all unclean spirits, man. All kinds of things were going on. I'm like, what in the world? I would listen to Pastor tell Nick, when we take those things, it opens doors for unclean spirits. I would hear him tell that and go, well, that ain't me, because I'm okay with it. The doctors told me I can take them. I didn't want to see it. But that's what we do to ourselves. That's the kind of deceit that we have. That's our hearts. That's what we do. That's what it does. But I'm telling you today, when God puts his finger on something, you'll know it, because it will change you forever.
Amen.
Forever. In his mercy and his goodness, I'm walking here. I told Tim the other day, we just did some pull-ups and push-ups and all that kind of stuff. These guys are helping me get back in shape and stuff. And I stood there, Pastor, leaning up against my car. I said, Tim, I don't tell many people this. I said, but I want to share this with you. I said, right now, I'm pain-free in my back. You know how much pain I have in my back right now? Zero.
Amen, bro.
Now, look, it doesn't mean it won't come back, guys, because it does come back. It comes and it goes. But you know what? Nate, I had the same amount of pain on pills as I did off. And you see? God put his finger on that for me. Lord, I'm hurting. But you hurt on him. He didn't. No. I can't. He didn't just, oh yeah, oh yeah. That's what God did. What about Paul? How many meds do you think he was on in the Bible?
Oh.
I've never been shipwrecked 3 times. I've never been beaten and stoned. Never left out in the basket, bitten by vipers, and beat 39 with 39 stripes. I've never been any of that. None of that. But you know what Paul walked around? With the grace of God.
Amen.
He said, thy grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. That's become my new prayer. God, your grace is sufficient for me. Help me to keep my body under subjection, that I don't be a castaway. Why? Because I want to go help other people.
Amen.
I want to have a testimony to go out there and tell somebody, I understand what it's like to be on those things. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Baptist churches, pews are full of it.
Sure are.
They're full of it.
Yep.
And I'm not preaching against them, people. I'm not. Because I know the agony and the suffering that goes into it. But I also know there's a blindness to it that they just don't see. You know what? God wants to deliver some people, I believe, Brother Ronnie. God wants to deliver some people, my friend.
Whoa.
He allowed me to go through that for a reason and a purpose. And I thank God for it now, 2 weeks out. But it was scary for a while there. It's got to hold on sometimes, Greg. It's got to hold on. You can't see the other side. You just got to trust that God knows what he's doing. He's big enough to know what he's doing. That's hard as a human being. But God knows. You know, it's easy to trust him in the good times, right, Nick? Isn't it? But boy, when God starts pulling that rug out, man, woo, it gets real hard. Thank God for his mercy. The devil loves to blind people's minds all in the name of physical or mental health. That's a reality. That's something I just learned in the past 2 weeks, of the blindness of the people that hide behind that stuff. Because you know what? A lot of them don't know any better. You got to be gentle with them. You got to be kind with them. Never, and everybody, pastors, you guys here, I've never told anybody to ever come off their medicines, ever.
That's right.
Tonight,
that's
ever.
Right. That's right.
Huh? Ever. I'm not a physician. I'm not a doctor. When people come up to me and say, I'm dope sick, can you help me? No, you need to go get medical help, then come to me afterwards. I can't help you out of that. Okay? I can't help you out of that. When you go and you go through your detox, then come to me and we can help you. I can't help you detox. I'm not a doctor like that. I would never take anybody's life in my hand. Like, I'm not stupid. But I know this. Whatever it is in your life that God puts his finger on, you better get to it. Okay? Because whatever it is, he's not going to let up. He is relentless. And he will get his way. Either we will turn and repent, or God just may take us out. That's what he does. Oh, that's horrible. No, it's a loving God.
That's right.
It'd be in his mercy if he took us out of here going through that nonsense. God help us. Luke 8:43 says that a woman having an issue of blood 12 years was spent all her living, I like how it says here, upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. The physicians never healed me, Nick. They didn't make me any better. Matter of fact, you know what happened, Greg? I got addicted to something else besides pain medicine. Your sympathy, your prayers, your attention. That's reality, my friends.
Hello.
I'm not kidding you. I thrived on your attention. I thrived on you asking, how's your physical health? How'd it go after your surgery? We're praying for you, Brother Dale. It's kind of embarrassing to say that, Pastor, but it's the reality. Mm-hmm. That's what I was trapped in. But the fact of the matter is, there was no way out of it besides God. This is the first time I've ever said anything like this. Nobody else knows this. I had a little conversation with him, but not in full detail. This is the stuff I was trapped in for the last 10 years. The addiction of not only the medicine, but the surgeries. Knowing they weren't helping me. So why did I keep going, Greg? Well, they'll keep feeding me the pills. I'll keep people still giving me that attention that I need. I love you, Anne. I know it's hard for you. It's hard. It's been hard as a family, what we have to face, but I thank God for every moment of what he has brought me and this family through in the last 14 days.
Amen.
I don't regret any of it. But I know one thing. I see so much clearer today than I ever did in the last 10 years.
Amen.
For that alone, my friends, it's worth all of it. The long suffering of God towards me until I finally came to the point where I could not only see what he was trying to put. You may be right now tonight seeing what God has put his finger on, but you don't believe it. Because if you believe it, he'd deliver you.
That's right.
I didn't believe it, Tim. I didn't believe for one hot second. God can do it for everybody else, Pastor. He can clean up that dope head. He can clean up that guy that's a junkie. He can clean up the alcoholic. He can take cigarettes away from people. He can save other people. He can't deliver me from that, though. No, I'm in too much pain. My body's too wrecked. You see how deceitful that is? And I believed it. Greg, I believed it for all those years. And God was tired of it. And when God gets tired of it, you'll know. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yes, I still still suffer physically. But there was never a difference in my life after surgeries or medication. And I just refused to look at it. I would hide behind that. You know what really made God mad? Is when I would try to use them pills to learn how to function in society. You see, I reverted back to my old ways as an addict. Because I was so afraid that I would not know how to function as a Christian in society. Let me tell you this, that was a lie. Do I look any different than you? Besides being happier? Besides having that ball and chain chopped off of me? Besides finally having the power of God back in my preaching, in my reading and my prayers, having thinking, clear thinking, sober thinking. You see, God gave me all that. It's the gifts he gave me from just saying, Lord, I believe you. I'm ready to take that step. Go ahead and take it from me. You know what we did? I videotaped me and my kids. Dumping them. a brand new script. Never touched another one, buddy.
You just upset the drug company.
Good. Only because God's mercy and His grace has He done that for me. Why? Because He didn't want me to seek the physicians anymore. You know what? Those physicians became my idol. Am I right, brother? It became that God in my life. It became an idol in my life, and it was stopping God's power in my life. And my prayer life for the last 3 years has been horrible. I mean, I pray. There's no question. You can ask my kids. I go pray. And I read every day. I go to church all the time. But there was something blocking between me and God, and it was the idol of the physicians. It was stopping that relationship. It was stopping God from drawing nigh unto me, because I couldn't draw nigh unto Him because I had that thing in between us. And He's delivered me from that. And He's cleaned up my thoughts, and He's cleaned up my head, and He's given me things in this Bible. It's wonderful to me again to get in the Bible. It's a wonderful thing that I look forward to getting up and reading in the morning. I look forward to going to pray again. Will I have depressions and stuff? Sure I will. But this time it's going to be a little more clear-headed. Amen. I'm going to turn to God this time, Sam. And I'm going to ask Him to help me through the depressions. Ask Him to help me through the pain. I'm going to ask Him to help me when I go through those horrible times. You see, all along God has been wanting that relationship with me. Amen. That's priceless, Pastor. I used to hear Him all the time say how priceless it is to have that relationship with God. My goodness, for 3 years I put that off. And I struggled and I suffered horribly. I'm almost done here. 2 minutes. Look it. I'm not even gonna. Second Corinthians 5:13-15 says, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is of God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us." A few weeks ago, I preached on the love of Christ constraining us. And how that love of Christ, that constraint, is something that grips you, something that gets a hold of you, and it motivates you to do something. And I preached that just a few weeks ago, Pastor, still on those pills. And I remember when I was preaching that, God said, "My love hasn't constrained you because you're still on the pills." Behind the pulpit. Behind the pulpit, here I'm preaching the constraining love of Jesus Christ. I'm preaching how much it will constrain you and how much it will motivate you to want to do those things for Jesus and trust Him and get out there and live your life. And God pointed it out behind the pulpit, "Well, how come you're not?" And then sitting in that hotel room with you, Brother Ronnie, and having our conversation, Nick, you two don't even know how much you guys played a big part in me being able to see what God needed me to see.
Amen.
You guys played a huge part in that, and I appreciate you guys, and I thank you for that. And I thank you for that conversation we had on that night. Because it was then that God, I got tired, man. I went to bed, didn't I, right after that. I laid down because I was so wrenched inside. I was so much in turmoil. And the next day I had to get up and present Liberty Behind Bars at a church, and I was just twisted. I said, "Do I have to really get up there, Lord? Can't you just make this end? Can't we just stop this?" I don't know. It got worse and worse, but you know what? God in His faithfulness allowed me to step behind that pulpit. It allowed me to say what I needed to say. But it was going to be the very next week. How about that, Ronnie? 7 days later, God would tear me up, sitting with the Bible open, drenched in tears. "Dale, it's time. Will you believe me or will you not?" I thank you guys for listening to me. I appreciate you allowing me to share my testimony about the goodness of God and the God of impossibilities, because He is the God of impossibilities. Just when you think it's impossible, God will step in if you allow Him. He will change that.
Amen.
He will. If you allow Him to come in there, He'll change that thing. He doesn't want you in the position you're in. Whether you're struggling with an addiction, whether you're struggling with being lost, or just a struggling Christian, God doesn't want you in that position. He's the God of impossibilities. He will deliver you out of it. Pastor, I'm done. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Love you, man.
Yeah, I love you too.
Praise the Lord. We can be thankful that God's a gentleman.
Yes.
Thank you.